Gemara. Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Koleitza Nusa Asira, Barmi Leitza Nusa, Davodas Kachovim, Vishaya. Okay. Yeah. It's mutter to say Latsonis about Avodah Zarah. In other words, about the gods of the Goyim. So, yeah. It's Koleitza Nusa Asira, Barmi Leitza Nusa Davodas Kachovim, Vishaya. Yachsiv, Kora Baal, Kores Nevo. That's a Rashi, actually. I mean, Rashi actually explains it. I mean, a lot of times you find a pasuk is the Pshutah Shel Mikra, and then the way Chazal explained it is could be completely different because they're really darshening the finer points of the expression. So there's it's a lot of times hard to tell. But over here, Rashi basically seems to be saying precisely what the plain interpretation, like Chazal interpret. But it's interesting to see what is meant by Leitza Nusa. What does Leitza Nusa mean? Leitza Nusa is a term. I mean, everybody says Leitzonis, but what exactly is Leitzonis? I mean, what does it mean? Okay, it's a hard thing to define. So you're joking around with Leitzonis. I mean, is it joke Leitzonis really? I mean, Chazal seemed to say that sometimes it's good to have a milsad abdichasa, a joker. Chazal liked it. Chazal had a sense of. Start the Shia Mil, so there's a Ram quotes Chazal, I can't find him, but he says, Ki hava kalshi rabbanam migirsayo. Hava amri milsa the late tenusa. I think there's somebody says on the side that he didn't know where the Ram got it from, but he had a little different gist. It says, Ki hava kalshi rabbanam migirsayo, and they got exhausted from learning, so they made a joke. And there are many Gemaras like that. They see that Chazal had a sense of humor. The well-known Gemara in the Dharam with Rebbe and Bar Kapara. Yeah, Bar Kapara would make Rebbe laugh. So Chazal were not averse to a sense of humor. I mean, they enjoyed a joke, and they held, as a matter of fact, that it's something which is good, something which is beneficial at times for a person to make a joke. So Leitzonis, even though we use the word Leitzonis loosely, it doesn't mean literally a joke. It doesn't mean Chazal didn't have a sense of humor. But many Gemaras mean you find Chazal has a sense of humor. So Chazal aren't against that. So what exactly is meant by Leitza Nusa? That's an interesting term that would demand some kind of a better definition, or at least a better description. So Rashi over here, as I take a look at Rashi, he seems to be learning the way Chazal are interpreting it. The pasuk says, Kora Baal, Kores Nevo. All right. So what does that mean? So Rashi says that he heard from Rabbeinu Gershom, Mor HaGola, this interpretation he gives. He says, Baal and Nevo are the gods of Babel. Okay? So he says that when Babel was conquered, okay, so Rashi says, Eloheyen shall Bavel Koru. All right? The gods of Bavel bowed down, were on their knees, basically. They were broken. In other words, these people had faith in their gods, that their gods are going to save them. And they were basically destroyed when Bavel was conquered. Okay? So he says, and that's what Korah, of course, means. He says, what is Korsu? Kores Nevo. Nevo. Nevo did something. We don't know exactly what Kores means. So Rashi says, Korsu Loshon Schok Shel Akomho. It's a Loshon of Schok. I mean, let's leave that part of the definition. Schok of Akom. Why? He says, Hu Kamisha Yeshlo Huli Me Ayin. A person that has a bad stomach. The Eino Mafsik Leshev Al Moshev Besakise Achehu Nirtas. Okay, it means that the guy basically can't get off the toilet. I mean, that's what Rashi says. All right, so he says Kara Bel Kars Nevo. He gives it, the French, and he says Kach Shamati Mishmosha Rabbeinu Gershom Mor HaGola. So Rashi seems to be interpreting like Chazal was saying over there, that that it's a degrading kind of a statement. So you see that Chazal understood that Latzonas really does not mean a joke, basically. Even though it says Lashon Tzchok, but he continues to say it's the case of a person that has diarrhea. I mean, that's what he's saying, basically. Okay. So what does it mean? I mean, so what does it mean? So we have at least some inkling of description of what is meant by Leitzanusa. Okay. Next pasuk. Korsu kor yachtov lo yochlu malet masa. Okay. And the nafshom bashvi halacha. So Rashi, of course, says that it's the same thing. In other words, it's using a degrading term. A degrading term with regard to the Avodah Zarah. what it means is like this, that a man by nature, man's psyche has a certain structure to it. Okay, and there are areas of the mind which frown upon certain things that a person does, you know, bodily functional things, but we look at them in a degrading way. You want to degrade somebody, I mean, you use those kind of expressions and those kind of terms. Okay? So basically, Chazal held that you're not allowed to do that. It's also to do that. It's also to employ those kind of psychological, make use of those kind of psychological props, those kind of psychological institutions, you see, in order to degrade, to degrade a situation. Why? Because basically what people are doing in that case is they're making recourse to a part of the human mind which, because of our nature, we have the higher aspect of the emotions, what psychologists would call the superego, would frown on these kind of things. So to do such a thing in general is usher. I mean, it's something which is commonly employed, basically. I mean, people do that. They want to degrade somebody, so what they will do is they will say, well, this person thinks he's so great, but yet he has to also perform certain bodily functions which would be degrading. You see, I mean, people do say that. I mean, it is it. So Chazal apparently held you're not allowed to do that because this is the way man is structured that way for a reason. And the reason is that if man, that's like Chazal say, that if it wouldn't be for anything more than the fact that the Torah asked eating shkatzim and ramasim, that would be enough to be meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yitzis Mitzrayim. Is that alone? I need a Shem HaKadosh, Yitzis Mitzrayim. You shouldn't, why? Because again, shkatzim and ramasim, that type of activity is getting down to very basic psychological, biological functions where people are attached to these things, and the nature of man is such that man is supposed to has another component, another counter-emotional component, which is good, which counters the other one, and of course, then the highest levels where the seichel comes in. But the man is structured psychologically in a way that he's physical, and in Chazal say man is has two different components. He's a malach and a behemah, and in order for a person to really function on the highest level, you have to have these opposing parts of his nature, of his psyche. Okay, so there's a certain part of man that degrades certain biological activities. There's like a war there going on. Okay, so Chazal hold that's a good thing, because otherwise man would permanently remain like a behemoth. I mean, they never rise above the level of the instinctual. So man is a very complex kind of being on a psychological plane. Forget about before the intellectual. All right, but that the way man is structured. This is probably, I mean, the cause. Much of human neuroses and psychoses is not that. That's when these things get out of whack. But they're necessary. They were necessary in the Bria and in the human structure in order for man to function on the highest levels. It's a complex system. But Chazal maintain that you're not permitted to make use of those emotions which degrade man because of certain biological activities, to make use, to make recourse to that. Ordinarily, you're not permitted to do that. That's Leitzan Hussein. Why? Because it is not something which is based on emes. It's something which you're making recourse to an institution that we respect. That institution is necessary for man to rise above the instinctual. You have to have you have the instinctual. You have the counter. So you have to have this counter instinctual. But even though we say the counter-instinctual is important in order to allow man to eventually reach a level where the mind is supreme, but nevertheless, you can't use that institution as a mode of trying to express the truth. Okay, you can't make requests to it. All right, ordinarily. And you're not allowed to do that because you're really not using chacham. You're using something which... In other words, Leitzan Nusa really is something which, if you wanted to zap a person, you could just, the statement alone is something which is destructive, and it's something which actually everybody, you're hooking into something where everybody will sort of, fall in line with that, and you can destroy somebody with that. Okay, that's Leitzan Nusa. That's Leitzan Nusa. That's why, like you see Chazal say by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram, Avram, Yitzchak, Leitzonei Hador, are you on them? What is Leitzonei Hador? Leitzonei Hador were people that were masters at oratory and at making use of these convincing kind of statements which destroy a person based upon the psychological profile of man. You see, that's how they operated. They didn't try to destroy Yitzchak intellectually. It wasn't a fair kind of exchange where they're going to destroy Yitzchak intellectually because they didn't have a chance. But the late Sunny Ado would make recourse to certain things, hidden kind of emotions that when you express them in a clever way, you can destroy somebody. And that's what Leitzan Hador said, that there's something going on there between Tzor and Avimelech. And make recourse to the instinctual, where people immediately hook in and say, yeah, that's it, see? And it removes through that method, you remove the aura of the tzaddik. Because the tzaddik has a certain aura, and how do you destroy that? By making recourse to a part of man that people don't even question. You see, as soon as you do it, they laugh and they agree because it's very convincing, because a part of them already is structured that way, and you're just hooking into that structure. And that's the tactic of the Leitzanei Hador. See, that's the tactic of Leitzanus. It's a very sophisticated concept. I mean, apparently from Chazal, the Leitzanei Hador, they knew what they were doing. They weren't stupid. I mean, they knew psychology, and they knew how to destroy someone by taking away the whole aura of Yitzchak. Yitzchak came from Avimelech. There was something went on there. This was a sexual interlude, and what happens, and people right away, of course. I mean, it's something which hooks in with their emotional needs. You see, their emotional needs. That was the tactic that the Leitzanei Hador used. So that's really... That's correct. The only way to refute them was Ashgacha. That's right. Avram always says that the Musdiutno is exactly like his father. Yeah. There's no answer. There's no way they're going to win. I mean, they're going to win. Avram could be the biggest chacham in the world, but he's powerless because they're hooking into the lower level of man, and something which everybody wants to be in line with. People don't want to be in line with thought. Thought is a process that takes a lot of work and effort. This is automatic. It's automatic. It's a part of me, it's automatic. Yeah. It's like, you know what went over there. That's it. They're happy. It satisfies them emotionally, and their ego is satisfied, emotions are satisfied, and they destroy somebody. That's basically the tactic of what Sonny had to offer. It was a sophisticated type of thing. It could be character assassination. That certainly plays a you know with the, it could be character assassination. That certainly is a big part of it. I mean, it's honest, but it's really the assassination of. It doesn't have to necessarily be a person. It could be the assassination of any kind of institution or idea. Okay, so leitzonus really means you can attack Torah that way. I mean, you've heard people that say that. Well, what is it? This famous lawyer that went to YU. What's his name again? Dershowitz, yeah. So, he went to high school. So, MTA, whatever. Yeah, should have thrown him out for a minute. So he says, yeah, what's Talmud is, you know, you take a pasuk and it means this, is that, and this one says this, that one says that. That's leitzanusa. Why is that leitzanusa? Because what you're doing is, You're hooking in. You're not really taking a Gemara and saying, I'm going to show you what a Gemara is. It doesn't make any sense. You'd have a hard time doing that. And even if you had questions, there'll be questions. Oh, so you go to a Gadol who will explain what it means. Now, Litzanus is when you... What you do is you create a foregone conclusion by employing certain emotional aspects of man. That the man uses to degrade things. It's a part of the human personality. Okay, so everybody knows. Yeah, you quibble. You say, you know, this is a bunch of quibbling nonsense, and you're making you're making recourse to an institution that exists, and you're hooking into that, and by the mere hookup, what you're doing is the person's going to walk away with a foregone conclusion about whatever it might be. So it doesn't have to be necessarily against the person. It could be against Torah, like Litzanus. But that's the method of Litzanus. It's an interesting thing. See, Chazal had it defined. What exactly Litzanus is? Litzanus is always when you take an aspect of human nature and you use it to get people to be convinced. You see, about a certain conclusion merely because it is too. I put it this way. It's too enticing for the person to avoid it. You know, it's an enticing kind of emotions that people that they want to enjoy this part of the nature. It's very enticing. It makes you laugh. That's why it says schok. It doesn't mean schok like a bedichas. Bedichas means a joke. A joke could be an intellectual joke. Joke humor is a wide range, but this is like a degrading kind of a. Of a joke where everybody wants to, has that part of the nature, and they enjoy using it, hooking into it, and therefore, through that method, you can destroy things. That's really what Litzanus is. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting phenomenon. That's the definition of Litzanus. So that's why over here, I would say the question, let's put the question like this. What is wrong with it? Well, let's say you want to bring about a conclusion that's correct. Okay, of course, if the person is trying to destroy Torah, that's awesome. You don't have to say, even if he uses chachma, that's awesome. Okay, yeah, but I mean, he can't use real chachma because there's no such thing. But I mean, if he uses his intelligence, it's also just as bad. But the question is like this: the question is it no good because you're not utilizing your intellect, which is what a person should always be using. When he tries to discover something, he uses his intellect, not his emotions. Or is there something even worse, that what you're doing with Litzanus is you're bringing yourself down to a plane of activity which is basically an inferior kind of activity in man. You're going down to a very primitive way of functioning. Now you're employing the primitive aspect of man, which is bad because you're attaching yourself. You see, you have to understand that in those areas, we have those areas. For instance, a person has biological needs and biological enjoyments. In opposition to that, you look down at those things as well. Okay, you look down at those things as well. All right? So you have, but you have to understand that the looking down is very close to the other side. In other words, they're intimately related. It's like a positive and a negative. So basically, even if you're going to be on the positive side, right, you're still very closely related to the negative side as well. Because you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you're putting yourself into a plane of function, which is, it's almost the same thing. I mean, the biological enjoyments and needs and the put-down of the biological enjoyments and needs are very intimately related. So basically, once you're getting into the, even though the higher side is the put-down side, which is necessary for us in order to rise out of the animal type of existence, but basically you're still hooking into something which is very close to the other side. So basically what you're doing is you're employing and you're causing yourself to function on a primitive level. Okay? So in other words, the question like is, why is it no good? Is it no good simply because of the absence of the use of the intellect? Is that the reason? Or is there even something more injurious here? Because what you're doing is, you're using the lowest part of man, basically. You're employing the lowest part of man. I mean, this is not, you're living like a behemoth, in other words. So it's bad. Like, it's bad. Okay? That's a good question. In other words, the natural question that should emerge from what we just said is, that Hotenach, if you're going to tell me that it's something which you shouldn't do because it's an absence of use of the intellect. So then I can understand what Chazal say when it comes to Avodah Zarah, okay, you can do it. Right? But if you're going to tell me that it's actually making recourse to the lowest part of man, so then you're going to have a problem with why is it mutter by Avodah Zarah? Why should it be mutter? You're still making use of the lowest part of man? So that's going to be the question. Yes, you're going to avoid that question by concluding that it can't be that way. That's not fair. The question is, what is the heter that Chazal was giving on it? What is the level of the heter? Are they simply saying you're allowed to fail to use the intellect in this case, bypass, short-circuit the process? Or are they saying you're allowed to make recourse to the lowest part of man? That's the question. That's basically the question. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, basically what he's saying is that forget about analyzing the Chazal at this point. Just says, look, Alpisecho, what do you see here? I mean, you should say Alpisecho that it's a bad thing. Because, you know, you are employing this kind of function. So we know that in Yahadus, you know, we try to minimize the whole goal of Yahadus is to minimize as much as we can the tzad of the nefesh abahami of man, and to always try, I mean, that's the idea of rising to a higher and higher level. The higher level a person is on, the more he employs the chachma and the intellect, and the less he is engaged in the biological and the primitive psychological aspect of human nature. I mean, that's Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly l'fnei Hashem, or what does the Rambam call him? A seichel nifrad. Seichel nifrad. It's complete, an abstract intellect. Okay, so it would seem just basically on the surface that you'd have to conclude that's a bad thing. All right, yes, Scott. Marshall. I mean, Marshall is a question of inquiring about other religions. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to inquire about other religions. It says lo sumo lasos kisolos agayim mayim, which means to say that if your inquiry is based on psychological curiosity, you're not allowed to proceed. That's it. I mean, the third demand, so the person has to know himself, has to be able to say, why am I curious? There's something there, something psychological is getting them curious. I want to see what they do over there. No, I don't. But if a person wants to inquire because he wants to have knowledge of man, and he wants to see what man made in his religions, that's 100%. I mean, that's 100% mutter. Not only is it mutter, but it brings a person to a higher level of perfection, as the Rambam explains. You understand when you understand the stupidity and the shtus of Avodah Zarah and the emotions and where it comes from, I mean, then the person in the highest plane, the Rambam says, I mean, Chazal say, Kol HaTorah Kulah is the denial of Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam explains in the Mora. That's, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the most important things. I mean, I can't say what's the most important thing in the Mora Nebuchim, because I'm not on the level to make that kind of a judgment, but I could say what's most important for me. And for me, most important in the Rambam and in the Maor Nevuchim was his the point that he makes that that knowledge of the primitive aspects of man will give a person insight, unbelievable depth and insight into the Torah, into Torah Shebichtav, into the ideas of Torah Shebichtav. I mean, it is something. I mean, the Rambam doesn't just say things. The Rambam followed a path where his mind it was revealed before his mind, unbelievable paths of chachma that opened up to him. And he says this is a key. You're talking about the Rambam's level of intellect and what he experienced in terms of his discoveries. I mean, and paths that were opened up for him that he saw in Torah. That was amazing. The Rambam doesn't just say things. You know? So this to me is one of the most important things the Rambam says in the Maran Avochot. And that's why he says that the person that has knowledge of these areas will see the unbelievable Chochmas HaTorah and the Amitas HaTorah, the Torah, carefully, so carefully, meticulously, the whole system is geared towards avoiding, preventing man from having the downfall of the primitive. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, the more a person studies that, the more one sees what the Rambam is talking about. It's a phenomenal thing, phenomenal idea. But so therefore, to learn what the Goyim do in order to see the Chochmas HaTorah, I mean, is a tremendous mitzvah. There's no question about it. That reveals the Chochmas Hashem. One can see Sinai. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. That idea, I haven't. Is that, you know, Gedolim in Eretz Midor or Chav Mani Yomim, the Torah is very vast, and anybody that has any crazy notions could always try to support them with some chazal that seems to be saying what they think. I mean, it's a dangerous area. That's why Torah Shema Peh was not supposed to be written down, basically, because of that. Because that's what people do. I mean, the Masorah demands that it has to be ish mi pi ish, from one chacham to the next chacham, back to Moshe Rabbeinu, be for a reason. I mean, we unfortunately had to make allowances. Eis lasis l'ashem. But that's precisely the danger. It's so vast that every crazy idea, a person will, some fool is going to use some chazal that he thinks it fits in line with that idea. Yeah. Okay. But anyways, okay. But it's an appointment. I mean, his investigation supported to such a great degree that idea that there was no way that it could be incorrect. That Avraham Avinu had 400 mesechtas in Avodah Zarah. Means he understood it clearly. And I often mentioned, I mean, it's worth repeating that, I mean, in the world you had somebody in the Greek world. I mean, Yaftalakim Liefas, but the Yishkon Baal Hashem. So there was a great Greek philosopher that was, I mean, he's sort of like reflects the kind of a personality like Avraham Avinu. That's Socrates. So Socrates, you know, was the one that questioned all society, and he drew many, many great conclusions. Correct ones according to the others. But Avraham Avinu went far deeper, because Socrates did not understand Avodah Zarah. And he tried to use their Avodah Zarah to help him, sort of, like with the Oracle of Delphi. So he tried to use the god of Delphi, which is, I'm not that much of a bucky else. I think it was this. But anyways, so he tried to use their gods to support him. In other words, he said that he thought the society respects these gods, so he tried to use the gods to support his ideas in philosophy, which were good ideas. But what he didn't understand, and what Avraham Avinu understood, was that Avodah Zarah is a, you know, the Torah understands, of course, Avodah Zarah is a far, is a very deep and treacherous kind of a way of thinking that is ingrained in man and causes man's destruction. You cannot compromise with Avodah Zarah, and you cannot show any respect to any Avodah Zarah, even if you're trying to employ them on your behalf in favor of Chochma. I mean, that's what he tried to do. Because when they accused him of going against the gods, he said, I don't know anything about that area, he says. And then he went through the story with the Oracle of Delphi, which he wanted to show. The Oracle of Delphi says that the main thing is Chochma, and he said something very true, that man is not wise, and that God is only wise, and he of man is wise who knows he is not wise, which is, I mean, Yadus, of course. Oh, it's a, similar to the pasuk, not quite, but it's similar to pasuk Yirmiyahu. Kim zosis halam asal haske vidor asli. Yeah, not quite there because there's because yeah exactly because in Yahadus it has to be tied to the idea of the true God. And in Socrates, it's simply it's called rationality and chokhmah. I don't want to get into too much to the difference, but I mean, I'm just the main point. And Socrates didn't know how horrible the effect of condoning the idea of a false god is. He did not have the insight into psychology. Avraham Avinu had the insight, and that's why I always say that Socrates, to the world, was one of the most courageous people. But he was not as courageous as Avraham Avinu because he didn't go against the religion of the society. That's all right. I mean, he was courageous, but Avraham Avinu did the worst thing, the most horrible thing, and that is to preach against the existing religion, which was throwing the Kivshan Eish. I mean, the Kivshan Eish. Whether you say the Mice and the Medrash is literal or not literal, that's a question of interpretation. But the Rambam says himself, he only escaped on Yedei Neis, and anybody with a mind understands that it has to be the case. You can't go against the religion of the country and think you're going to stay alive. It's impossible. I mean, Socrates didn't even do that, and they killed him. So Avraham Avinu's courage was far greater. Far greater. Because Avraham Avinu knew the 400 Masechtos. That's what it means. And that's why I often say that the Greeks were phenomenal when it came to intellectual abilities in mathematics and in philosophy. But where Yahadus's approach is far deeper, because Yahadus recognizes the importance of psychology in addition. And if you don't have a sound knowledge of psychology, then your philosophy is built on sand. I mean, basically, you don't know the nature of man. Okay, it could be in certain areas of philosophy you can arrive at great truths. I mean, the Rambam says that the Greeks arrived at great truths that Yahadus holds is correct. And as far as Derech HaChaim is concerned, many things. I mean, that they did great things. I'm not trying to disparage their accomplishments, but I'm just showing that their accomplishments in comparison to Torah is incomparable. Okay, yeah. So over here, the question, this is a psychological question, and you see Chazal are in the depths of understanding a point of psychology, namely making use of the baser part of man, which is a bad thing. And I have a riot from the Lashon of Chazal as well. Why? Because Chazal say, Kol Leitzah Nusa, what's the Lashon? Kol Leitzah Nusa Asira, correct? Is that the Lashon? Yeah, Kol Leitzah Asira. If it were just a matter of short-circuiting the process, I don't think Chazal would have said Asira. What's he, Asira? Why is it Asira? It's not proper. It's not correct. I mean, why is it Asira? Asira always implies that there's an element of chait. An element of chait. Yeah, this is something bad. Yeah. I mean, Chazal have different expressions. Yeah, it's not right for a person to do things. There are various expressions that Chazal use. When they say Asira, it's more than just not right. Okay? It means it's you're involving, you're engaging in a double Asira. I'm not just saying you're wasting your time. Wasting time is something else, okay? That's everybody knows it's not the right thing to do. But Asir means it's something bad. So now we come from this analysis to the problem. The problem is, why should it be mutter to make recourse to the lowest part of man? Okay, it's not the lowest, but as I said, it's very interrelated. To make use to the primitive part of man to be mavat lavadazar. That's correct. When it says that when the Gemara Gittin, they took it out of the, it was censored. But the Gemara Gittin, it seems pretty clear. It's speaking about the Bageshu, because it says, Kol Amalig al Divrei Chachamim is Nidun Betzor Asachas. The Gemara says, there's a Gemara in two places. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about Yeshu, and also Ish, what is every day? Is Nidun Betzor Asachas. I can't explain that. That's an example. That's a good example. That's a good example. Nidun betzora sacha. So you're employing the institution of the biological, functional institution, which has to do with tzora, which is something which is disgusting to man. Okay, a man has a disgust over here, and you're using the disgust to destroy osoa ish, which is varazara, which is the highest form of varazara. I mean, yeah. We have to frame a question here. The question is like, what's the question? Question is, when it says that it's mutter, it's unatzavot, there's two possibilities here. One is, go ahead. Okay. In other words, is it really a bad thing? But Chazal is saying when you weigh the balance, it comes out that the balance is good. I mean, look, you know, I mean, human life is such that there's good and there's bad. So sometimes you have to be a chacham in every area. Okay, you have to be a chacham in every area. Sometimes, what do you do? Aver l'shma. Okay, it's bad, but you have to weigh it. Okay, you're emotional, bo cheshbon. You have to make a cheshbon. All right, we're not malachim. We live in an instinctual world. You have to weigh things. You have to be a chacham. Okay, so aver l'shma. That's Yoel. Okay, so that's one possibility. Or are they saying that over here in this case, there's no problem? That's the question we have to ask. Right, like the Ram says in Hilchos Bia. Okay, really a person should make kavash atzmo, and he should only have Bia. Why? Because of the highest reasons, procreation. Maybe he'll be able to help Klal Yisrael through having a son that's a god lador. I mean, nothing, no personal gain. I mean, this is the highest level of kedusha. But if a person is not on that level, so what does Chazal say? Dialon or shemigadelas is benenu matzalenim and avera. There's an element of a person yishto beheter is matzimatzal from an avera is a wonderful thing too. It's two different levels, two different things. Okay, I mean Chazal recognized both. You have to know. A person has to know his madrega. Both things are fine. Depending on who the person is. Okay, but that's the question of it. Now, once you say outlet, what you're saying is like the other way. That matzilenim and avera. In other words, really, it would be worse if a person went far, far worse. If a person went to a zona, okay. But this way is matzilenim and avera. So Chazal practically knew that's why Chazal always insisted a person shouldn't be sure about Isha. And there are many reasons. That's certainly one of the reasons. But that's already you're going in that direction. You're going in terms of weighing the scale. I mean the balance scale. All right. But I'd like someone to show me a way where there's absolutely no harm in it. I mean that position is going to be harder to defend. Okay, I'm just warning in advance. I see a lot of people Chazal didn't hesitate to quote Chachmei Umas Olam when they said something worthwhile, and in my opinion, Descartes said something very worthwhile, and that is he told somebody, I will not harm you by teaching you something that you can learn by yourself, okay, which is definitely a correct pedagogically and in terms of helping another person. So I'll tell you what we'll do. So study the Gemara Megillah Chof Hei Amid Beis, all right. Amar Rav Nachman Kol Leit Zanus Asir. Go to the end of the parak, all right, till the end of the parak.
In which man looks upon with disdain, and ordinarily you're not permitted to make use of such a figurative expression. However, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you're permitted to do so. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, Gemara says like this. Rav Yanai Omar, Gemara Chof Hei Amid Beis, and Megillah, Rav Yanai Omar, Mehocho, La Golos, Beis Oven, Yoguru, Shochin Shomron, Ki Ovel Olov Amo, the Komrov Olav Yagilu Al Kvodo Kigolam Imano. Okay, so it's predicting the downfall of the what do you call it, the Avodah Zarah in Shomron from Yerovam Ben Avot. Okay, so it says that the Komrim, it says in other words, the priests will the Komrov Olav Yagilu. So the pasuk says basically that they're going to be swept away. And they're going to mourn the loss of these Avodah Zarah. Then the pasuk says, "If Komer of all of Yagilu al Kvodo Kigolam Imeno." All right. So the question is, I mean, the Pshuta shall make us a little difficult. It says, "If Komer of all of Yagilu, Yagilu means they'll be happy." So the way they interpret the Pshuta shall make is, "If Komer of Sheol of Yagilu," it means that now it's Yagilu, but eventually it's going to be. When the Kvoda will be gone, man, it will be gone. But Chazal interpreted literally. The Komer of all of Yagilu, I mean, without making any changes in the grammatical structure of the Pasuk is difficult. That's why I said the Komer of all of Yagilu. So he says like this. So he says, Al Kvodo ki Golemen, Al Tikra Kvodo el Kvedo. What does Kvedo mean? So, Kvedo is Masu Shel Rei. means excrement. Okay? Maso, COVID maso shel rei shehoyabo. The COVID agvosov. The domlo besefi she yachtov lo yochlo molit maso, who maso shel rei. Okay. So it means to say that they'll be laughing at it because they'll be ridiculing it with regard to making certain reference to the fact that it's excrement. Okay, it's the same kind of thing. Basically, that's what the Gemara is saying. That again, making use of those type of expressions in order to degrade the Avodah Zarah. Okay. The question that occurred to me is like this, you know, why didn't the Gemara take an open pasuk, actually, that has this already? Where's the pasuk? Where's the pasuk? By Eliyahu, by Har Carmel. Okay? Eliyahu, by Har Carmel. You don't have to, it's an open pasuk. Alright? It's in Malachim Beis. Malachim Aleph. Malachim Aleph. I'm sorry. Malachim Aleph Yud Ches, right? Yeah. So it says, Pasuk says, Malachim Aleph Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin. So they set up the Baal, the of their Baal, set up the sacrifices, and nothing happened. Okay, so means that he's involved in something, talking, or he's looking for something. What's the chiderachlo? Rashi says, lebeis hakise. So you have already, according to Rashi's interpretation, I mean, you don't have to interpret the chiderachlo that way. But according to Rashi's interpretation, it's very difficult. I mean, why didn't the Gemara use the proof from Eliyahu Navi Bar Carmel, where it says openly, Vayahasel Bahem Eliyahu? He's ridiculing them. How did he ridicule them? He said, V'chiderachlo. So that's exactly Leitzanusa. I mean, that's Leitzanusa, according to the Gemara. It's difficult to say that because that was a Rosh Shah, so that was a different situation. It'd be difficult to say, because then you're going to tell me that the Navi was engaging in an activity which is improper, and people are going to learn from that. I mean, it's a difficult thing to say. Harosha is to mimata the technical halacha, but there's no harosha on imperfection. I mean, to act in a way that's imperfect for the Navi doesn't make any sense to say it's harosha. Harosha is the technical halacha. Okay? I mean, according to Rashi's interpretation, the chiderachlo, the Gemara should have used that raya. Yeah, the answer is, what Marshall said. The answer is because the Gemara wants to show more than just a kind of ridicule where you're not openly saying anything which is, the words aren't, you're still using a phrase which is removed from the activity. See, that the Gemara could prove from Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. But the Gemara wants to prove even more than that. That you can actually use words which are an indication, in other words, the verbal itself is ignite, not just the connotation. By Eliyahu, it was the connotation, but the words themselves were not terrible. Chiderach alo, derach. I mean, derach doesn't mean anything. But over here, it's telling you that you're permitted to use language. The language itself, the word itself, is one which carries this kind of a ridicule from the language itself. You see, the Gemara says before. The Gemara says, Tanar Rabbana, Kol HaMikros HaKsuvim B'Torah L'Gnai, Karnasan L'Shvach, Kigan Yishgolena Yishgavena, Ba'folim Ba'Torim. So you switch them. So he says, and then it says, L'Machros L'Motzos. Rabbi Shimon Korcham L'Machros Kishmon, Nebnei Shu G'Nai L'Avodas Kachovim. So Rashi says, L'Machros, Gabi Avodas Kachovim K'Sivu Sefim L'Chom, Kichur Loshen Motzi Reihu. So there, the word itself is the lashon of motzi rei, Rashi says. So it means to say you're allowed to use the degrading lashon itself, not just the connotation, not just the concept. The concept, of course, that you're definitely allowed to do. That's the Yisif Meliyah Bar Kama. But over here, it wants to show the language itself. In other words, what Chazal recognized here is that there's a certain power in language. The words themselves have a certain kind of an effect, and you're allowed to create that effect through the use of such kind of language. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the Chiddush. So that you don't know from Eliyahu Bar Kama, okay? But that you do know from Korah Baal Koras Navo, because Koras is that kind of a lashon. Okay? That's what it means. So Chazal recognized, before modern day, it's an amazing anticipation, before modern day psychoanalysts, point out the strength of emotion that is carried through certain words, and that's basically what the Gemara is mentioning here. And you're allowed to make recourse to that kind of verbiage. Okay, so yeah, the Gemara. So now the Gemara is like, the question is, what did Rabbi Yonah's limud add? Okay, I don't know. It's mutter for a Jew to tell a guy, shakwe lavoris kachovim, take your avoris kachovim, the anche. The shin tof shalom. It means basically he could put it up his rear end. That's basically what it means. Shin tof shalom. Rashi explains it in Yeshayahu. So again, you see, that's exactly what the Gemara intrinsic degradation. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to do that. Okay. So that's the same thing. Anche b'shin tof shalom. All right. Yeah. So now the question we asked last week was. We said it's mutter to do so. Mutter to do so. But the question is, what does it mean? Does it mean that it's mutter, it's a bad thing, but in order to destroy Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to do it? Or does it mean no? It means that there's no harm at all in making recourse to such kind of expression. Ordinarily, apparently, Chazal held you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make recourse to such expressions. That's Leitzonuso, and you're not allowed to do it. But over here, you're permitted to do so. So the question is, does it mean that it's really a harmful thing in general to utilize such a process? Because you're bypassing the intellect. And not only are you bypassing the intellect, but you're making recourse to primitive type of thinking. So that's bad. But over here, somehow, it's mutter because the good outweighs the bad. Or the pshat is over here, there's no harm whatsoever. That was the question we asked last week. Okay. That's right, you're right. Yeah, Rebbe Man says that if it's a matter of a matir, so then if you can get away with that, so you shouldn't do it. But if you say that there's no harm, so then you can always do it. Yeah. Yeah. The answer has to be explained from two sides. It has to be explained mitzad ha-shomea, and it has to be explained mitzad ha-mashmia. It must be both. You have to explain both. Okay? Now, that's what Aaron's mentioning is correct. Insofar as what Chazal held is like this interesting thing. Why is it only Avodah Zarah? Why not any Avera? Use this if you want to stop a guy from Avera, you can say you're allowed to, any Avera you're allowed to use, make recourse to this type of thing. So, apparently it's only Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Avodah Zarah really is where a person is rooted in the primitive emotions of man. That's what Avodah Zarah is in Kol HaTarakula. That's why I call it Torah Kulis Kenegar Avodah Zarah. And then that's why Rashi says Rashi showed you last week, and then Dvarim Yudches Tes, where he says that anything which an Oved Avodah Zarah does, that a person, that is, Losom Ad Lasos, Avatalam Ad Lavan Ad Lahoros, Rashi says, you should know what the other Avodah Zarah do, because if your son, you see your son does a certain practice, and you study the Avodah Zarah, you know that practice is a practice of Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says you must tell your son, don't do that. This is a Maisa Avodah Zarah. What does it mean? Maybe we have some kind of a minig that's similar. The answer is it cannot be. It's impossible. It's impossible that there should be anything in Torah that we practice that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah practice. And as soon as you see the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do it, immediately it cannot be a part of Torah. That's the That's Rashi and Dvar. So you see, because Avodah Zorah stems from the primitive part of man, and Yahadus stems from the highest part of man, from the part of Sichli. Okay, the Tzelem Elokim. So therefore, it's impossible that they should both coincide. Now, a person that's rooted in Avodah Zorah, so Mitzara Shomeya, since he's rooted in Avodah Zorah, you can uproot him by using those areas which are repressive towards the instinctual that he's following. Okay? So that's Mutter. So Mitzara Shomeya, you can understand why it certainly is permissible. Because on the contrary, we mentioned last week that Adam is created in a way that he has these institutions to counteract the lower primitive, because otherwise he'd never rise to a situation where he could make use of the Tzelem Elokim. Correct? So then man is constructed that way. So if God constructed man that way, you certainly can make use of the way man is structured psychologically in order to put down, to extinguish the lower, the lower of the lowest element, which is Avodah Zarah. So that's Mitzad Hashemayah.
How's that
going to have an effect on your daughter? That's what it means. It means you're allowed to tell him to put a B'shin means that you're allowed to take this thing which he has this veneration for, which stems from the primitive part of man, and now you're allowed to use an expression which totally reduces it to nonsense. Okay? And you're using the other side, which psychologically always that's its function. That's the function of that part of the mind that suppresses the very lowest part of the mind. Okay? Alright? That's a chazal thing. Okay. But the question is now, what about Mitzara Mashmiya? In other words, is the one that's making recourse to this, is he doing something which is not good, because he himself is engaging in a kind of thinking which is associated with the primitive? So, of course, we said the association is very close. It's like a positive and a negative. Yeah. So I would say like this. I'd say that it's mutter by Avodah Zarah. Why is it mutter by Avodah Zarah? Because it means that the Mashmiya has to recognize that the primitivism of Avodah Zarah is extremely deep. And it's something which man can never fully uproot. You see. So that's why when he makes recourse to the primitive, it's as an admission, so to speak, of the fact that insofar as Avodah Zarah is concerned, for most people, they're always rooted somehow or other. On some plane, they're rooted in Avodah Zarah. Except that's Avraham Avinu, Sachlafon of Yesamim. I mean, if a person reaches that madriga, that means he's completely removed. But you're allowed to do it because it's a recognition of the danger of Avodah Zarah and a recognition of the fact that that's a part of man that you really cannot be free of. You can't be free of. And that, therefore, you are permitted to make recourse to the other side, because it's a necessity insofar as man is concerned, because it's not something that you could really uproot totally. So Chazal say, Chet Egel is always required Yisrael. And then Kalatar Kula is denial of Varazar, which means unless a person reaches the level where he's Mekayim Kalatar Kula, like a Talim Ti Emet Hashem Lekecha, he's not free from Avodah Zarah. That's why you'll see even the Achronim that have various things that they say, they're mutter, but then in the end they always say, but you shouldn't do it, because Talim Tiyah Iman Hashem Lekecha. So what happened to Talim Tiyah Iman Hashem Lekecha before? So why is it mutter? I mean, why do they say it's mutter in some form? The answer is because it's a recognition of the fact that man is weak, and man is always somehow or other tied to Avodah Zarah. Yes, that's correct. That's the ultimate state. But it's a mitzvah that a person is not able to be mekayim so readily. It's not so easy to mekayim that mitzvah. So therefore, people are given to various degrees. That's why Chazal, for instance, permitted the zugos, because they made a concession, like the Miri explains, and the cameos. Because it's they tried to take the superstition and remove it by having people quote certain psukim, which remove a person from the concept that there are other powers, in the universe. But you see that the other forces. But you see that they couldn't just abolish it, unless it's technically halachically avodah zarah. Of course, then it's intolerable. But outside of the technical halacha, so Chazal did make certain concessions, because tamim tiyem shelakecha is not an easy mitzvah. So that's why, when it comes to avodah zarah only, you're allowed to do that, because it's a recognition of the fact that we're never really free from the pull and the draw of avodah zarah. Okay. Yeah, in other words, ordinarily you're not allowed to make recourse to the part of man that the nefesh abahami. You avoid the nefesh abahami as much as a person can, you avoid the nefesh abahami. But over here it's mutter, because it means it's a recognition of the fact that this is unavoidable. And that's why you're permitted to do it. Yeah. In other words, if there were no such idea, so then of course it would just be making recourse to the primitive. But since the truth of the matter is that no one is free, so therefore, and the person, when he does it, knows this concept, so on the contrary, it's not harmful. It's conceptual. And the concept is true. So that removes the harm, because it becomes a conceptual kind of activity. Because that concept is there. The institution, Lutzonism, means the Isser of Lutzonism, is making recourse to those primitive institutions of man, and using them b'derech chok. That's what Latonis means. That's what's awesome. Okay. The answer to the paradox is like this. The answer to the paradox is that on the one hand, you're engaging in an emotional activity which is harmful. But because of the concept is what saves it. You understand? Because you know that you're doing this because of the recognition of the fact that there's that weakness. So now it's brought into the intellectual plane. Once it's brought into the intellectual plane, then it's not harmful anymore. It's only emotions that are tied exclusively to the nefesh abahami that are harmful. But since the emotion is based upon a certain reality, so the recognition of that reality is what saves the situation. That's right. That's correct. Because it is the higher thought is what takes that emotion out of the realm of just instinctual gratification. The recognition of that reality. You understand what I mean? That is never a chil Hashem to make fun of their gods. Otherwise, what whole Tanakh are there? I mean, the whole Tanakh is to ridicule and destroy avodah zarah. So that's a kiddush Hashem. On the contrary, it's a kiddush Hashem. The only thing is, one must be concerned with darkei shalom. That's a different problem. I mean, we can't do the we're shurim alad musam, and we don't have any power, and the it's a different kind of a situation. But chil Hashem, definitely not. On the contrary, it's a kiddush Hashem. That's the whole navi, all the neviim. Yeah, Rabbi Meir's quoting v'baltem ishmam l'chanas l'mshem ganai rashin v'am. Yeah, that's right. Shem ganai. It's a mitzvah to do it. It's a kiddush Hashem. It's a kiddush Hashem. It's like this. It's a person that's sani shumani. It means he has a bad name. What does it mean, a bad name? It means that they say about him that he's mizana. He's mizana. Noef. Okay, he's nus. All right. Yeah, you have to understand. I mean, you know, sani shumani doesn't mean just the guy's a bad. There's a bad name. Depends why. Like the Gemara says, if a person has enemies, then it's not the. It doesn't mean anything, because the emotion is called a lot. It means in a society where you know the people are shemitah mitzvahs, and it's not simply motzi shemra, and there's some basis to the shmur. Okay, so in such a case, it means to say the person is a noef. Basically, everyone knows he's a noef, and you can't catch him. It's sani shemani. You know, everybody knows what he's doing, but he does it clandestinely, so no one really can find out. But everybody knows. So that's what Gemara says: "Ishori lele v'zuyeh begimel v'shin." What is gimel v'shin? So Rashi says bar giyurta. That's gimel, and that's gimel. And also Shem Musra, that's him. In other words, you can call him, you can call him names. All right? You can call him names. Shem Mushach means a bad name. It means like some slang, a slang expression that has a bad connotation. So Bar Giyuta, I mean, is it means Bar Giyuta means the son of a Noephis. So Rashi says, Kacha b'tshuvas hagana mutal avadas gamas imo sheyoldoso. That's what it means. Yeah, it means to say, yes, Benzona. Okay, so you can even... It's an amazing thing. That's exactly what people do. The Chazal recognize this kind of a thinking. I mean, the SOB, I mean, is the same idea. You're trying to degrade the mother. And Chazal say it's mutter to do that with a person who is a known Noah. I mean... amazing. In other words, under certain conditions, it's legitimate. Yeah. You see, the question is, what do you want from his mother? That's the question. I mean, okay, one mvaza him, but why is it mutter to mvaza a mother? I mean, you see that, that's what Chazal says, mutter to do that. Yeah. Yeah, what it means is, what? What it means is, you see, when you mvaza the mother, what are you doing, really? What you're saying is that he's intrinsically deficient of his name. He was born that way. He was born the psalm. So what does that do, actually? So what that does is that breaks the identification between you and him. Because you don't look at yourself that way. Nobody looks at themselves as being intrinsically, inherently evil. And you're breaking your identification with him. So that the Gemara says that's Gimel Shem. That's Gimel Shem. Yeah. So why is it mutter? Why is it mutter by Sana Shemane? Why is it mutter? Yeah, why is it mutter? The reason why, so why are you allowed to do that? What's the answer? The answer is because the Chazal are showing is something about another area of life which is also equally dangerous. That's the area of Arias. Because everybody is lohut achar Arias. Arias, again, is a part of the instinctual makeup of man, that man, even the biggest tzaddik, can't trust himself. End up in trouble with Arias. Okay? So it's something which is an area of life that we recognize that we don't really have control over. Okay? The only control a person has is in avoidance of the Giri Yetzer Hara. But once he's Megari Yetzer Hara, it's out of his control. Ain't up a trouble for Arias. So there's a matir for Arias as well in a society that a person that's a noif, and the fact that he's a noif is an attractive kind of a feature. It's built up, it's played up in certain circles, because certain spheres, because it's very attractive. So on the contrary, you're permitted to degrade him in a way which breaks the identification and reduces him to a low life of existence, because Arias is also something which a person can never uproot. Person can never be free, and everybody is lohatach Arias. All right, that's what Chazal would say. Yizoru be the biti, Yizoru b'chosi. I mean, They would always teach people that you shouldn't be ashamed of admitting the strength of the sexual instinct, because on the contrary, if you deny it, then the person is first prone to fail. So over here as well, it's the same concept, that it's mutter, and not only is it mutter, but it's something which is not harmful, because even though you're engaging in something which is really a primitive type of activity. But the recognition of the fact that a person must do that because he's always subject to the force of Arias is really what renders the situation one which is harmless and which is, on the contrary, beneficial. Okay? That's a Chazal saying. So basically, no, that's not what it's a different thing. But basically, No, it's harmful to engage in calling a person an SOB, calling a person because you're degrading his mother, you're saying he's... you're not allowed to do that. First of all, you're not allowed to do that. And secondly, it's incorrect, because you're saying he's intrinsically inferior, and he's not. He has Bechira, basically. It's wrong. So you're engaging a low form of activity. It's a low form of activity. It's a distortion. It's a primitive kind of thing. It's not an intellectual thing, so you're not allowed to do that ordinarily. But by Arayas it's mutter because of the fact that the Ahadus recognizes, and basically it's two areas. Avodas on Arayas. That's what I'll say. But each one is different. Each one is different. Okay, and Avodas are the degradation. And Arayas it's the recognition of the fact that this person is a nimshul kebema. His life is purely nefesh abahami. That's why it's mutter by Arayas as well. That's the Chazal. Okay. A person must use the repressive part of his nature to keep him away from Arayas. He has to make recourse to that. If he didn't make recourse to it, he'd fall. Okay, that's why it's mutter. That's really what's up. It's mutter to do. Okay? You can't escape, a person cannot escape from Arayas with the purely intellectual. He must make recourse to the repressive part of man in order to escape. Yes? All right, well, we'll end off with this last Chazal. Let's take us out. Gemara says, it sounds like something that's not necessary. Haiman de Shapir Shimane, a person that you know that he does good things, okay, he's a Zohir, okay, he's a Mufresh Min Arayas, Shari Mishvuche. It's mutter to praise him. Oman de Shavche Yenuchal Abrachas Arasha. Okay, on the contrary, somebody's Mishavechim is Yenuchal Abrachas Arasha. So the question is, he has a good Shmur, he does mitzvahs, he's a Zohir, he's a perfected person. So why does it have to say mutter? What does it say? Shari lishmuche. It should say chayav lishmuche. What's shari lishmuche? Why shari? Okay. Then the Gemara says on the contrary. And somebody does it, yinuch lebach l'rosh, it's a good thing. You should do it. But first the Gemara says shari. What's the issur? Why should it be an issur? One reason could be because you're not supposed to call mavarchas Israel, but call God mavarcha v'arif kol tachashlo. Yeah, that's correct. That's true. Because when you shabach somebody, it's not a good thing because you're setting him up basically, and people are jealous and envious. And okay, that's one. Yeah. I was thinking also like that. That the pshat is that really, that you need a mati to praise man. Because really, man doesn't deserve any praise. I mean, that's the lecho Hashem agdulav agvorit v'teferes v'neitzach v'ahod. So really, deres v'amunah, l'chai alamim, or everything. There's nothing that belongs to man. Everything belongs to God. So really, you're not permitted, when you're praising man, you need a mati to praise man. To praise man, you need a mati. Because whenever you're praising man, you're detracting from kavod of the Bar Olam, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to do that, because really all praise is only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And praising of man is really, I mean, it's far removed, but it's Hashem and Tzavod Azar. It's Hashem and Tzavod Azar. And man doesn't deserve any praise whatsoever. So that's why you need a matter. But the Gemara says over here, on the contrary, you have the matter. Why? Because just like you're allowed to be megane, someone who practices a kind of life that reflects taiva, so too you're allowed, you have a matir to praise man, because with that you have the recognition of the fact that it is a matir, and we need the matir in order to remove us from a life which is not a correct way of life. So you need a positive example. So that's why it's mutter to praise man. It's really a matir. It's really a matir, so to speak, on Avodah Zarah. But it's not real Avodah Zarah, of course. It's very far removed. But the concept, the idea, is that really a person is not allowed to mishabech anybody except the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why you need a matir for it. But the matir, you're allowed to have the matir, because with the matir you have the recognition of the fact that it is a matir. And we're doing it because of the fact that it's our weakness of our nature, and not because we're chalula taking away from the cover of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, stop.
Rebbe just asked me to add in an additional point here, that there is a distinction between our area here, where we say it's mutter to use words of gnai towards the Avodah Zarah and people who are involved in the Arayas. But for Talmud Chacham to degrade in Amma Aretz by calling Chamor would be Aser.